morning. Yeah, it's obvious that Pastor Tim is not here. He and his family are on vacation. So why don't we pray for them too right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come before you. We thank you for the cleansing of our sins through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this place where we can come in peace to be in your presence and to learn from you. We pray, Father, also for Pastor Tim and Dorothy and their two beautiful girls as they enjoy some time of recreation. I pray, Lord, for that you would recharge them, that their time would be a time of building up their relationships, enjoying each other's company, enjoying your presence with them, even now, as they have a brief moment of respite. Open their eyes to your glories, give them peace, give them wisdom, and bless their time, their vacation time together. And I pray, Father, for each one of us here, that you would open the eyes of our hearts as we delve into your word. Help us to sense your presence even now and to remember you and to remember your presence in our lives. I pray, Father, that you grant me words to speak to and guide me. There's so many things to think about and to say. Pray for wisdom to know what to say. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as Joseph mentioned, and you can see in your bulletins there, passage is Deuteronomy chapter 8. And some of you may have heard me say this before, but Deuteronomy is one of the most important books in the Old Testament. You can write that down. It's one of the most important books in the Old Testament. And much that we can learn in the Old Testament can be found in Deuteronomy itself. It's like condensed, concentrated there. And according to biblical scholars, it's Deuteronomy is also one of the books that are quoted the most often in the New Testament. And as we read through chapter 8, you might recognize some of the verses here. Okay? So let's read through this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. See if you can catch some of the verses that are quoted in the New Testament here. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting with verse 1 in the English Standard Version. The whole commandment that I command you today, you should be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know what man does, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through this great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He may humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is God's word for us today. So what is going on here? Well, the person that's speaking here is Moses. And these were his last words to the people of Israel before they entered the promised land. For those of you who have read your Bibles, been in Sunday school, you may be familiar with how the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then God called a man named Moses to lead the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, to take them to the land of Canaan, which is where modern day Israel is today. And at the cusp of him bringing the people in, God told Moses that he's not going in. He's not going in. But his protege, Joshua, will bring the people in. So these are his last words. And if you know the story, they've wandered the desert for 40 years because the original people that left Egypt, that God brought out of Egypt, they did not want to go into the land that God gave them. 40 years prior to what we see here, what we read and heard here in Deuteronomy 8, so 40 years prior to this time, those Israelites, the parents of the people that Moses is speaking to today, said, no, we're not going to go in. They got scared. And then they reinterpreted their history with God, saying that God's intentions were evil for them. So God punished them by saying, you're not going to go into the land, but your children will go into the land. And that's what we have here. These are the children. Because right when that last parent passed away in the wilderness, God told Moses, the time has come. Turn, go to the border of the land of Canaan, go to the eastern shore of the Jordan River, and speak to them. And then commission Joshua to lead the people in. Right? So in the earlier chapters, before chapter 8, Moses stressed the importance of obeying God. You know, he reminded them, says, your parents didn't obey God. Look what happened to them. And now remember. Remember to obey. And here today in chapter 8, what Moses was stressing to the children of Israel that were about to go into the land, the promised land, is to remember the Lord. To remember the one true God. Remember Him. Don't forget to remember God. Because remembering the Lord has an effect in the lives of God's people back then, and it has an effect in us today as God's people. Because the Lord is still the same. He hasn't changed since Moses' day. He doesn't change the way He was back then with Moses, the way He is today with us too. And then in the second half of chapter 8, Moses tells the people, don't forget. So what's the difference? Remember the Lord in the first half of chapter 8, and then the second half says, don't forget, do not forget. A lot of times in the Bible, God will state something the first time around, and then the second time around, He restates it in a different way. And there's something there's a twist to the second time He reiterates what He said the first time. And that twist is something that God wants to emphasize. So the first half of chapter 8 is, remember God, the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as we know God today, the triune God. Remember God. And the second half says, do not forget the Lord. And that second half, where we're called, do not forget, what is emphasized there are the good things God has done. The good things. So we're warned not to forget. Remember God. Do not forget the good things that God has done. Because that's what their parents did. They forgot the good things that God's done. And because they forgot, they were overcome by fear. And in their fear, they couldn't see the love of God anymore. They couldn't see the love of God. And then they start, I guess you call it gaslighting God. I guess you could say gaslighting. Right? They said, oh God, you didn't want to save us. You wanted to kill us. Right? And God said, nah, that's not how it is. Right? God carried them. Especially those 40 years of testing in the wilderness, in the desert there. In addition to leading them out of Egypt and defeating the Egyptian king Pharaoh and all the Egyptian gods. In addition to doing all that, God did all these other amazing things for 40 years, right? Which we'll get to in a few moments. So how do we remember the Lord? Well, I guess the obvious thing to do is just to think about what God done in the past. Right? And that's what we see in the first 10 verses here. Moses reminding them what God has done in the past. Verse 2, right? Remember the whole way that God led them for 40 years. A lot of times we think about 40 years in the wilderness and we just kind of blow right by that. But just think about this for a second. It was a 40-year adventure in the desert, filled with times where God continuously and supernaturally met the needs of His people. Supernaturally. They got food. Where did this food come from? We call it manna today. And it kept saying that your fathers did not know it. And so that's what they called it, manna. But you know what manna means? And any of you know what manna means, literally in Hebrew? Take a wild guess. Joseph. Yeah, what is this? That's what it means. It means, what is it? Right? And if you want to pronounce it, the best way I can think of pronouncing it in Hebrew is the mana. Mana, right? Ma is what? Na is this. What is this? So that's what the parents call it. What is this? And they ate what is this for 40 years. And food and water, you know, water, it says there's no water in the desert. But God brought water out of the rock, it says. And check this out. It says that their feet didn't swell. What does that mean? So if any of you like to hike or do a lot of walking, you know that when you walk a lot, your feet swells up. Right? Your feet swells up. But I think that Moses meant more than just your feet didn't swell up. Right? Because in that part where it's talking about the feet not swelling, it could be a figure of speech known as metonymy. Metonymy, where one part of a whole, where a single part represents the whole. So in this sense, where it's like your feet not swelling, could be meant to represent or imply that they had perfect health. Perfect health for 40 years. Can you picture that? 40 years, no one got sick. 40 years, no one got hurt. 40 years where your clothes did not wear out, because where are you going to get new clothes? You're out in the desert. 40 years. And in those 40 years, in addition to giving time for the parents to pass away, it was also meant to drill home one main point. Life, true, real, fulfilling life comes from the Lord. Life comes from the Lord. Life comes from Yahweh. Life comes from Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Life comes from Jesus. And people, you and I, were meant to live in total dependence upon the Lord. Because in the wilderness, over 1 million people at that time were totally dependent on God. And God spent 40 years to drive home that point. To humble them. Because isn't it humbling to say, yeah, you know, I can't live life on my own. It's humbling. Like, I can't... Isn't it humbling to say, I cannot do this? I know I'm humbled, right? Especially like when I'm at home and something breaks. I still remember my kids bringing to me a broken toy. And you know, it's such a proud moment as a father, as a dad, when I could fix their toys. Right? Oh yeah, daddy can fix anything. At least they used to think that. Until that day comes when they bring me something that I cannot fix. And I have to look in them in the eye and says, I'm sorry. Daddy cannot fix this. But then I try to make it up to them, right? But it's humbling to say, I am not able to do something. And for 40 years, these children of disobedient parents, God was teaching teaching these children, you need me. And without me, there is no life. Jesus himself mentioned that too. He says, what is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That's what Jesus said. Eternal life is knowing God, knowing the Lord, knowing Yahweh, right? So God humbled the people here so they would know that if they really want to live, life is found only in God, in the one true God. And that takes us, you know, that could take us back all the way to Genesis chapter 2, if you remember. When God was talking to Adam and Eve, he said, well, talking to Adam, says, yeah, don't eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, because the day you do it, you're going to die. You'll be severed from the source of life the day you disobey the Heavenly Father. And that's what Adam did, right? He disobeyed and brought death into creation. But life is found in God, right? So we're called to remember God's goodness. Remember God's goodness. And that's what he's saying here in the second half of chapter 8. Right? Remember God's goodness. And as you remember God's goodness, it's implied that it should naturally lead to obedience. It should lead to obedience as you remember how good God is to you. As you remember how good provides for you. Like, I want all of you right now to think about the good things that you have. The good things that you have accomplished in life. Maybe the awards that you've won over the years. The certificates that you've earned. It could be in sports, it could be in academics, it could be in your jobs. Or it could even be just in your family, where your moms and dad says, I'm proud of you. Well, although I suspect in Asian families that doesn't happen too often. But man, that's impressive if your mom and dad says, I'm proud of you. Especially how rare that might be. Just think about all those good things. And let me burst your bubble here to say that you have all those good things because of the one true God, Yahweh. You have all that. Because like God said to Moses, you know, who made man's mouth? Because Moses says, I can't talk. I don't know how to talk well. Well, God said to him, well, who made your mouth? Right? God made his mouth. Which implies that I made your mouth. You can't talk now? I can fix that. Your intelligence. Who gave you your minds? God did. Who gave you your abilities? God did. Who gave you those opportunities to win, to accomplish, to achieve, to do incredible things for your family, for yourself, for your classmates, for your company? Who gave you those opportunities? God gave you those things. God gave you those things. All those awards that you have. We celebrate some graduates at the beginning of June, right? Those diplomas, they come from God. Yahweh, the one true God. Yeah. Think about those things and then give praise to God because he is so good to you and me. Which means that all the things that I've accomplished in my life, I can't brag about it because they're all given to me from God. Everything. Even the things I know, I have to say it came from God. Because I kid you not, there's times when I'm studying the Bible, and you know, I've read through the Bible over 20 times, so I'm fairly familiar with different parts of Scripture. But I kid you not, there's times when I'll be reading the Bible, a passage, and I can't understand it. I can't understand it. It's like the Holy Spirit says, let me hide the meaning of this passage from you, Ray, just for this moment. And I'm reading it and I go, uh-oh. You know, am I having a stroke? You know, something wrong with my brain here? And I start praying. Then God will open my mind and I can understand it again. Right? So all these good things that God's called the people to remember, it's to humble them, but it's also a test too. You could say, in a way, it's a test of their faithfulness, but it's also a test to know, for them to see how faithful God is to them. Because food's always there. When they needed water, they asked God for water, God provided. And they probably didn't know. I don't know how long it took for them to notice it, but for the clothes not to go to wear out? Or how about not getting sick? How often do we take our health for granted? Right? And it's only when you and I get sick, we then remember like, oh yeah, you know, I've been sick for a while. Well, that's God's grace. You haven't been sick for a while. Well, these people, I don't think they got sick for 40 years. And they'll think back and say, wait a minute. God kept me healthy. God kept me healthy. So you could say that this test is kind of like those blood tests that doctors give you. I think all of us had a blood test before. Even the young people here. You got blood tests, right? Yeah, they stick you in your arm, they take some blood, and then they test the blood for all sorts of things, right? And I think most of the people here will have a clean bill of health. Doctor says nothing to report from these tests. But there may come a time when the blood tests report something not so good, right? And some of us probably had that. The older you get, the possibilities of that happening, they increase exponentially, I think. So what do you do then when the test shows something negative? Are you going to listen to the doctor? You try to listen to the doctor, right? You try. Because sometimes the doctor says something to you that seems almost impossible to do. Like my doctor told me that I was fat a few years ago. He says, you're fat. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you're overweight. You're fat. You got to lose weight. And these blood tests show it because my numbers are off. You know, you got your minimum and your maximum. My numbers were up here. He said, yeah, you got to lose some weight and those numbers will go back to normal within the range. So I said, what am I going to do? He says, cut out all your snacks. I said, what? No snacks. All of a sudden, my mind goes back to like post-dinner time. That's like my snack time. I'm like, oh man, that was hard. But what if the test showed something life-threatening? Well, of course, my tests were life-threatening, but I joke about it now. But if I didn't listen to the doctor, things could get a lot worse, right? Well, listen right now. In God's Word, God's instructions regarding the test of the Israelites, which applies to you and me today, is life and death. Those instructions are life and death. Because what the test revealed for those 40 years is even in those 40 years, the people have a tendency to choose death over life, because they want to do things their own way. Over and over and over again for 40 years. Which brings us to another point here, which is pretty incredible. God still loved them. Think about that. 40 years, the people complained. You know, I said before they asked for water because they didn't have no water. But they didn't ask, in reality, they didn't ask nicely. They didn't ask nicely, but God still gave them water. God was very gracious. He's full of mercy and grace. He's full of mercy and grace. Right? He preserved them. He told them to think about what is good that He's done for them, even in their complaining, even in their disobedience. Look at verse 11 here. It says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord by not keeping His commandments." God wants you to follow Him, to obey Him. Because what happens when we forget God? We start going our own way. Right? But if we acknowledge God, that He is present, like even present right here, right now, there's a tendency to do what is right. To do what is right. Right? So don't forget. You know, God's good to the people back then. He's also good to us today. And His goodness, it didn't stop in chapter 8 here. Because as time went on after chapter 8, the history of God with His children, His people, He continued to do good and amazing things. So that as you read through the Bible, and I encourage you to read through the Bible, you're going to see even greater things that God has done for His people. And the climax of the good things that God has done for His people, and all of you know it, is Jesus Christ. That is the climax. And why is that the climax? Like it says in our bulletin, John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." What does it mean to a father, to a dad, to sacrifice, to be willing to sacrifice His own Son, His only Son? We're Asian, right? We say, "Oh yeah, boys, sons are like what we look for, right?" What does it mean for a dad to be willing to give up his own son? Think about that. What does it mean to you? Because here, God loved you so much that He gave up His own son for you. I don't know how else God, or how much greater God can express His love or demonstrate His love for you and me than the sacrifice of His Son, so that God will bring all of us here close to Him in reconciliation. God will bring He wants to bring you close to Him. And that leads us to the table here today. Because what did Jesus say on the night that He was betrayed? What did Jesus say? He says, "Do this in remembrance of Me." Do this in remembrance. Jesus is calling you and I to remember what we're about to do. Right? And let me read to you from here. from Scripture about the Lord's table. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed..." Should I get a mic? Oh yeah, the praise team can come up and set up. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He says, "Do this in remembrance of Me." And when He had given thanks, He broke it. Where's the bread? Yeah. He broke it. And He says, "This is My body, which is for you." In the same way, He also took the cup. He says, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until it comes." And what does it mean to proclaim the Lord's death? He calls each one of you to remember that He died for you so that you can find rest. So for those who have believed in Jesus and been baptized in a Bible-believing church, all of you who have believed are invited to this table so that you would remember that Jesus died for you. But those who are weary, those who believe in Jesus but feel tired, weary, broken, come to the table. For those followers of Christ who feel that God has let them down, remember, Jesus died for you. The Father loves you. Come to the table. Be renewed in your faith in Jesus. So, would the ushers come forward and help distribute the elements? And I know Pastor Tim only has the gluten-free stuff. I don't think we need that today. Right? Yeah. But if you have not believed in Jesus, then please refrain from this part of the service. Please refrain. But consider that Jesus died for you too. Will you believe? And if you do believe, if you haven't believed before and you want to believe, feel free to talk to me. Oh yeah, can you?